forsaken. I was shattered by the fall, broken and forgotten. I felt lost and all alone, but I was summoned by the King into the Master's cause, and lifted by the Savior and cradled in His arms. And I was carried to the table, seated where I don't belong, carried to the table and swept away by His love. This world has left me lame, but even in my weakness, the Savior called my name. Oh, and in His holy presence, I am healed and unashamed, 'cause I've been carried to the table. I'm seated where I don't belong. Swept away by His love. And I don't see my brokenness anymore when I'm seated at the table of my Lord. I'm carried to the table. It's the table of my Lord. Fighting thoughts of fear, wondered why He called my name. Am I good enough to share this cup? This world had left me lame. Anymore, 'cause I'm carried to the table. It's the table of my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. Prophecies fulfilling, and the signs of the time.
How fast he's come.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
Faster than that, really.
Yeah.
I'm ready. How about you?
Yes. Yeah. It'd be a good night to go.
Yeah, it would. Many needs in this building, in this room, in this family. Many, many, not only many needs, but there's been many prayers answered. I don't know if Trista was here the night I explained how I got my wife or not. But praying real specific will work.
Yes.
Yeah. And for all you young'uns that don't, it's not married yet. If you'll just be patient and pray, God will take care of it.
That's right.
Because we were all, well, I'm speaking for me and Trista. We were young and dumb and made a lot of mistakes. And God's somehow forgiven us for all of it. And He still loves us. Imagine that.
Yeah.
He still loves us. Amen. And Becky, I like that song too. I'm glad that Christ regarded my helpless estate.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Look in Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. And I hope tonight to help you with some practical preaching, I guess you'd call it. Now, we had a wonderful revival. My brother Dale just plowed the whole field, and then you guys just got back from New Manna, and I know you heard some good preaching down there, and then you come back here, and here I am, and I don't know how it's going to go on YouTube. My daughter always told me I had a face for radio. You didn't have to amen, Brother Steve. Oh, well. Anyhow, Genesis chapter 14. I was going to read the whole chapter, but we'll skip some of it. Let's begin in verse 1. Are you there? Genesis 14, chapter verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. And for the sake of time, we're going to skip down here to verse 11. There's if you count up there, there was four kings battling with five kings. Mm-hmm. And they had this big battle. And anyway, the four kings whooped the five kings. And one of the kings that got whooped was the king of Sodom. Mm-hmm. And you come down there to verse 11, it said, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son. Of course, we know the story about how Lot ended up to be in Sodom when him and Abraham had a falling out. And Abraham said, let there not be trouble between us, brethren. You choose which way you want to go and I'll go the other way. So Abraham said, here's the deal, Lot. Just whatever you want, you take it, I'll take what's left. Now, that's not thinking of the world today. But let me just tell you this story. I worked on a strip mines, and sometimes I drove a rock truck, and sometimes your equipment would be broke down when you got there. So if yours was broke down, you just had to take what was left. And somebody would kind of say, which truck you want? I said, I don't care. Y'all just get what you want and leave me one. 9 times out of 10, I got a good one. Now, I don't know why, but I did. Anyhow. But the world would say, let me pick first. Let me get what I want, and then you can have the rest. But Abraham said, no, you take what you want, and I'll take the rest. So, and you know how it is. He looked towards Sodom, and he ended up there. And now look what a shape he's in. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, and who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods. And they also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shavah, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave them tithes. He gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." And Abram said unto the king of Sodom, "I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion." After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to you this evening with no strength of my own. I need yours. I come with no righteousness of my own. I need yours. I come with no words of my own. I need yours. I need everything you got for me tonight. Lord, there's many preachers, good preachers in this room, but Lord, I'm the one you've got standing here tonight. God, I pray that you'd use me to teach this simple lesson. Lord God, help me to learn it myself. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we ask it all, and amen. 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 So, first of all, let's see the mess of the world. The mess of the world. Now, there's four kings fighting against five kings. I mean, the whole bunch is at war. And by the way, hadn't much changed. If you study about these, there was 10 kings counting Melchizedek, who was king of Salem, but he wasn't in the fight here. He was in amongst it, but anyway. These nine kings were fighting, and if you study this out, some of them were the land that's now called Iraq. Yes. Some of them are from the land that's now called Iran. Right. And they're fighting here, 4,000 years ago? Yeah. So don't fret too much. Hey, don't fret too much about what's going on. Right. You know all this that's going on tells me one thing. Yeah. That midnight cry is written real close. Yeah. I'm not looking at all the trouble because the world's in a mess. It's always been in a mess. We see the mess of the world here. We see war here. And we see the war was won by one side there for a while, and they captured the town of Sodom, and they took the people of Sodom into slavery, and they stole all their goods and just carried them off. So the world's in a mess.
Right.
Same as it is now.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Right.
But here's what we see next. We see the man of God.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I notice this. In verse 12, it says, "And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, and dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed." And what happened, just as soon as Lot and these people that didn't listen to Abraham, and couldn't get along with Abraham, so they split up, this is what happened. "And there came one that had escaped and told Abram." You ever notice? People come along and ask your vice preacher, "What should I do?" Is they come on down to the house of God and get saved and live for God and read your Bible and study and pray and all this. But they decide, "No, I don't want to go that way. I want to go my own way." But the minute they get in trouble, where do they run? The minute Lot, Lot got in trouble, they run right back to Abraham, the man of God. Said, we need help. And look what the man of God did. He went and helped. I know people say, well, we've helped them 100 times. Well, we need to help them 101. Well, they just won't listen. Well, we didn't listen too good either for a long time. But anyway, when in trouble, they run to the man that could help them. And they knew where help was at.
Yeah.
They knew where help was at. But they won't stay where help was at.
Right.
You want a good marriage counselor Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday afternoons?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Hey, I'll tell you what, if you show up, you're not going to have a whole lot of problems if you show up and pay attention and do half. But anyway, let's go on. But the thing of it is, they went to Abraham. Not only was he willing to help, but he was prepared to help.
Right.
Even those who had done him wrong.
Right.
Think about that.
Now, Lot really did him wrong. Okay. But he was, hey, they're part of the family. And we got part of the family here that's AWOL, I guess you'd say.
Right.
In
a good way.
I mean, we love them. And we want to help them. And all that. And we're prepared to help them.
Right.
We don't hate anybody. But anyhow.
That's good, then.
But it's... Listen, Abraham was prepared to help even those who did him wrong. He was ready to fight the enemy. He was ready to fight the enemy. And he did fight the enemy. And he won a great victory. He won a great victory. And then, we got down to verse 18 to the end of the chapter. After the victory, he went down there and he whooped up on. One thing I wanted to point out here in verse 14. It said, and Abram, if you ever noticed that, Abram heard that his brother was taken and armed his trained servants, born in his own house. 318. You remember there's five kings, armies.
Right.
Went down there and took Sodom and everything they had. And Abram took 318 men.
Right.
Yes.
And then it said in verse 15, and he divided himself against them.
Yeah.
He took 318 men. He said, I'll tell you what, boys, let's divide up here. 318, that's pretty close. So that's four eighties real close. He said, y'all hit from that side, and we'll come from this side, and we'll go this side. And they'll think there's four armies coming against them.
Yeah.
And not only did he divide them to come against them, but it says he went by night.
Yeah.
He went by night. Now, you think God's not in this thing?
Yeah.
Think about it.
Four armies. He took 318 men and divided them up and defeated them all and took all, got everything back. Man, what a victory. What a great victory. Hey, we've had some victories around here. We've had some great victories around this place. But I want to tell you something. You've got to be careful when you have great victories, okay? But we go down here to verse 18 to the end of the chapter and we'll find that he met two kings. Abram has a meeting with two kings.
Yeah.
And by the way, you're going to meet these two kings every day.
Yes. Come
on. Every day.
You're right.
The first king he met there was, in verse 18, it says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. We see his meeting with the king of Salem. Now, the title of this king was Melchizedek, king of Salem. Mm-hmm. Melchizedek means king of righteousness.
Right.
Yeah.
King of Salem means king of peace. He's the king of righteousness and peace. Now, I know you're thinking, he's a priest of the Most High God. He's a king and a priest.
Hello.
All right. Now the territory he was from was Salem. That's Jerusalem. They added a prefix to it later on, and that's Jerusalem, all right? So he's the most high God, the king and priest of Jerusalem. Of course, he is a type. He's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He's a type of Christ, because Christ is both priest and king. He was also a prophet. Christ was. Melchizedek wasn't, but anyway. The name priest emphasizes the Lamb's name of God, the sacrifice, the priest. And the name king emphasizes the line of the tribe of Judah name of God. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, we find these verses that tells us about old Melchizedek. Now, there's a lot of people do a lot of debating over this fella, but I believe it's a type of the Lord.
Yeah.
It says there in Hebrews, says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. And then the next verse, in verse 3, says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days, end of life, nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest eternally. So, hey, so he met the king here, the first fella, and he had a talk with the king, and the king in verse 19, look what the king did. The king blessed Abraham, said, and he blessed him, and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. You'll know when we get down to Sodom that Abram didn't take anything from him.
Right.
That's right.
He received this honor from this king.
Yeah.
He received this blessing from this king.
Yeah.
He not only received the blessing, first he blessed Abraham, but then in verse 20, the king blessed the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. You notice he didn't give Abraham the credit for delivering them. He gave God.
Amen.
He gave God the credit for the victory. He gave God the credit for the victory. So many times we'll win a victory and we say, look what I did.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, look how good I am. Man, I'll tell you what, if I've ever preached a sermon that was worth a dime, he did it.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
The only thing I have, the only words that I ever said that were any good is out of this book.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. I know preacher talked about our soapbox, but I'll stand on it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the only one.
That's right.
Anyway, he blessed God. He blessed God for the victory. And then Abraham gave him tithes of all. You notice here, Abraham accepted honor from him. But we're going to look here. He never accepted nothing from Sodom.
That's right. Amen.
Now, the king of righteousness and peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to meet with you every day.
That's right.
These two kings come out to meet Abraham. The Lord Jesus wants to meet with you every day.
Yes.
He wants to meet with you. He wants to bless you.
Right.
That's good.
Absolutely.
Let's look at this king of Sodom. It says here in verse 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, he never said hi or how are you or bless you or nothing. He said, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Now, hallelujah. Think about this. The king of Sodom said, Abraham, you just give me the people back and my kingdom back. And you can have everything else.
Right.
You can have it all. Now, that's a bunch of stuff. I mean, that's millions of dollars. That's millions of dollars. Think what a temptation that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. But what tickles me is how presumptuous this king is.
Right.
Right.
That He wants back the people in His kingdom that He couldn't protect to start with.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Think about that. But He offers. Abraham said, "You just let me have the people back, and you can have all the stuff." Man, Abraham could have left there, a rich man, wealthy man. He could say, "Look what I've got! Look what I got now!" But look at the king of Sodom's priority. He said, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." Just like Satan.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Just like Satan. He's not, he'll give you everything in the world if he can get your soul. By the way, that word persons there means souls. He said, "Give me their souls."
That's right.
Give me their souls. You can have the goods.
Right. Yeah, come on.
Hey, Satan will give you, he'll give you the world. Right. But in the end, he'll give it to somebody else and he'll have your soul.
That's right.
You end up in the gutter somewhere with nothing.
Yep.
Oh, he gives these gals beauty, and they use their beauty for fame and fortune and all this kind of thing. Hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but you're either going to die young or get old, and then you'll have nothing.
Right.
And he'll have your soul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Listen to me. The old king of Sodom will come along every day, just like the king of righteousness. The king of Sodom, old Satan, will come along every day and he'll tempt you.
Right.
He said, "I'll give you this. I'll give you a pot of gold. I'll give you a good job if you'll move down there and leave that church."
Think about it.
Yes.
You'd be better off staying in a good church where somebody's preaching the book and live for God than to go to some heathen, to go to some Sodom.
Amen.
And make a fortune.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
that's right. Amen.
Amen.
Good preaching.
He made him an offer that you can't refuse. Man, he was going to give him, "You just give me them people. They're just a burden to you anyhow. And you take all the goods and go." Abraham said unto the king of Sodom, "I lift up my hand to the Lord." Well, he's saying, "Hey, buddy. Hey, Satan, I done told the Lord I wasn't taking nothing from you."
Yes.
What we need to do is promise the Lord God Almighty that we're not going to take nothing that Satan has to offer.
Right.
That's good.
Oh, he'll put the most beautiful thing in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
He'll put the, I'm telling you what, he'll tempt you with Chevrolet trucks, won't he, Brother Rick?
Yeah.
He'll tempt you with rifles and shotguns, and he'll tempt you gals with, I don't know what y'all are tempted with, shopping trips and, I don't know. Whatever it is. I shouldn't say that. I won't say it. Anyway. But all he wanted was the souls. All he wanted was the people. He just wanted some slaves.
Yeah, that's good.
He just wanted some slaves. He didn't care if they had anything or not. But Abraham said, "Nope, ain't gonna do it. Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it." He objected to the king's proposal. He wouldn't accept anything from him. And there was a couple reasons he gave for it. He said, we'll read verse 22 again. I like that. "And Abram said unto the king of Sodom, I've lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet.
Right.
And that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I've made Abram rich." Abraham was living by faith.
Yes.
Are we? Are we living by faith in our job or our health or our bank account or our are we living by faith? Are we trusting God for what we have? I mean, it all belongs to Him anyway.
That's right.
Huh? Abraham was living by faith, and he wanted the world to know that it was God that was taking care of him.
Right. Amen.
He wanted the world to know that God had gave him everything he had. Second reason for the objection was Abraham was prepared for the temptation when it came. The temptation often comes after victory. But Abraham was already prepared for the temptation because he had done met with the king of Salem.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
Did you get me?
Yes.
Abraham was prepared for the king of Sodom because he had done met with the king of Salem.
That's good. That's good.
So when you get up in the morning, why don't you just meet with the king of righteousness and peace? So when the king of Sodom shows up, you say, hey, I want nothing you got. I done promised him this morning. I done promised the king of Salem. I'm not going to take nothing you have. Not only should he not take nothing he had because it was going to enrich him. You just think about this. Abraham was not going to take something that would cause others to be hurt. In other words, he wasn't going to be enriched so you could get poor. Like gambling. Like you say, I'd like to win the lottery, but how many thousands of people lost so you could win?
Right.
Amen. Oh, preacher, you're stretching that a little bit. No, I'm not either.
No.
If Abraham would have took all that, all those people of Sodom would have went back to Sodom and they wouldn't have had nothing. So what would they have had to done? They'd had to been slaves to the king of Sodom.
Yeah.
And Abraham said, I'm not going to make these people slaves to you.
Right.
Because I swore to God in heaven I wouldn't do that kind of thing. Hey, listen, but here, that's all just introduction, okay? Chapter 15, verse 1 is my message. Four points, I'll be done in just a few minutes. Y'all don't have to worry. Because of Abraham's faithfulness, because of his victory and his meeting with Melchizedek and his refusal of the king of Sodom, God shows up in the next verse and gives him four things for his faithfulness. First thing he gave him says, after these things, the word of the Lord came. A.
Yeah.
He gave him his word.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, do you know what a blessing this is? You want to be encouraged day by day by day when things are going wrong? You want something to help you when nobody else is around? Hey, get you a copy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Read it.
Yes, sir.
There's lots of good stuff in here. You know. No, he gave him he gave him the precepts.
Yes.
He gave him the precepts.
Right.
Thy precepts have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Hey, have you met with the king of Salem this morning? Have you met with the king of Salem today?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it'd be good if you meet with him.
Yeah.
Not only give him the precepts of God, look at this. He said, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not. Not only gave him the precepts of God, he gave him the peace of God.
Amen.
By the way, you can't have peace without the righteousness, okay?
Right.
Listen to me, you can't have peace without righteousness. If you're not living right, you're not going to be at peace with God.
Right.
Now we have the peace of God. Hey, what's the Bible say? Great peace have they which love thy law.
Right.
Nothing shall offend them.
Right.
Amen. Once Philippians 4:8 says something about peace which passeth all understanding.
Yes.
Hey, you can have peace in the midst of a storm.
Yes.
You really can. Yes,
sir. Amen.
You really can. 2 Timothy 1:7, what's he say? Something about God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of peace and of love and a sound mind. Hey, he gave him the precepts of God. He gave him the word of God. He gave him the peace of God. Number three, he said, I am thy shield. He gave him the protection of God. Now listen, Abraham had done one of great victory against nine kings that was fighting. Okay?
Right.
Or against four kings that were fighting. The four kings was the ones that Abraham defeated. Well, them kings hadn't went away. And I'm sure there was dangers around here and there and yonder. And I'm sure there was people didn't like Abraham. But God promised to take care of him.
Yes, amen.
And God promised to take care of us too.
Yes, sir.
What was it that the preacher from Iowa said? Why should I be afraid playing in the yard when Daddy's sitting on the front porch?
That's right.
Yeah, I understood that well.
Yeah.
I understood that. Amen. We got the protection of God. He's our shield. And last of all, and I'll be done, he says, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
Yes, he is.
He gave him the prize of God.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Hey, listen, we may not be rich here. What's that song say? I might not have much here, but look what's waiting for me.
That's right, man.
Hey, there's streets of gold and gates of pearl and walls of jasper.
Oh, yes.
Hey, could we talk about heaven a while? I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. Amen.
Even so, Lord, come quickly.
Yeah,
hey, it's going to be better after a while. I've said this for years and years and years. We're way too short-sighted.
Yeah.
This world is not my home. Yeah. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Now, don't get me wrong. God's blessed me. God has blessed me beyond measure. But if I was standing here without a car to ride home, if I didn't even have a donkey to get on when I got out of here, and if I had to go sleep under a bush somewhere, God's still good.
Yes.
Mark it down. Say, oh, you talk big. You talk big. I've been when I didn't have much.
Yeah.
I've been in some tough scrapes, and I've had trouble through life. I can tell you some stuff. There's not a person in here that hadn't had trouble. Trials and heartaches and suffering, like the preacher talked about last week. But I want to tell you something. God has been good through it all, and God will be good to the end. Let me just give you this one last time. You're going to meet the King of Salem tomorrow, and you're going to meet the King of Sodom tomorrow. Which one are you going to accept? Which one are you going to team up with? Which one are you going to run with? What are you going to accept and what are you going to reject? I think right now, before we have Lord's Supper, it might be a good time for us just to come to this altar and fess up anything we think's not right. Cheryl, if you come play me something, or Tristy, either one of you, I don't care. Place the invitation. Come on. Just get things right with God, and we'll have Lord's Supper here in a minute.